This is The Open Line. Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill. Proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
What a different picture to this time last season at Hampden Park when Rangers knocked Celtic out of the Scottish Cup at the semi-final stage at penalties. That day, Rangers were celebrating. That day, Mark Warburton was celebrating. That day, the Rangers directors were celebrating. And from that moment on, Celtic decided to make a change. And what a turnaround it has been. The treble is still on for Brendan Rodgers and for Celtic. They beat Rangers 2-0 this afternoon. It will be a Scottish Cup final back at Hampden Park on May 27th between Aberdeen and Celtic. So Hugh Keevans, we know the two dominant forces in Scottish football. Yeah. It's Celtic and Aberdeen in the League Cup final. It's Celtic and Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup final. And it looks like a 1-2 in the league as well.
And that's why Pedro Caixinha goes under the microscope next season. He got a free hit today and next Saturday against Celtic because he's only just into the country, into the club, and no one is obviously going to judge him over these last few weeks of the season. But at the start of next season, that 33 point gap which exists at the moment, which may rise or fall between now and the end of the season, that has got to be addressed. And if he can't bridge that gap, then Rangers will look for another manager.
Let's get some immediate reaction from Celtic fans who have called in. Here is Jerry in Bonnybridge. Hi Jerry.
Hi Jerry and the guys, how you doing?
Hi Jerry, how are you feeling?
Oh, that was, what can I say? Celtic were sensational. They just wouldn't let Rangers play at all. It was absolutely fantastic. It just showed Rangers up for what they are. They're just a mediocre team. That is it. And Celtic, oh, I'm lost for words the way they played. They were absolutely sensational.
It's the mediocrity that will have to be addressed now, Jerry, by your biggest rivals, because Pedro Caixinha has been brought in with one purpose in mind, and that is to close the gap between Rangers and Celtic. It depends on how Rangers spend their money in the summertime, but Celtic will also spend big because they have more money.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time, but that's Pedro Caixinha's task now, and it's a fairly big task.
I didn't think Celtic were sensational today.
Listen.
They were the better team. Sensational.
They were.
Oh no, they played well, and they were far better than Rangers, but they certainly were anything but sensational.
No, they played.
Derek, it's sour grapes from
no,
yourself.
No, it's not. I watched the game and see, they were sensational.
They were. They wouldn't let. Right. The last time we played, and Celtic. You said Celtic were poor because Rangers wouldn't let them play. Well,
correct.
That's what happened today. We wouldn't let Rangers play.
Yeah, Rangers were poor, very poor today. Yeah, but Rangers weren't sensational when they got the draw. They worked hard and deserved to get a point on that day. Today, they deserved to get nothing.
Derek,
Celtic were by far the better side.
Derek, of course you're going to be hurting because...
No, I'm not hurting at all.
Hurting.
I'm asking your question. I'm answering your question for you.
Some of the one-touch football was just a delight
in
the eye.
In periods in the game, you're right. In periods in the game, they play some great stuff, but certainly not for 90 minutes.
Gordon DL, watching it at first hand as you were, on a scale of zero to sensational, where were Celtic?
Very comfortable. There's no doubt about that. And I think even, you know, the spell that Rangers had for the 10, 15 minutes when they created a few chances, Celtic were always in control of the game for me. And I think the scoreline actually flattered Rangers, because I think Celtic could have probably went up another gear with the players that they've got. It was a difficult afternoon. Sensational is obviously an exciting word to use for a Celtic fan, because when you see the dominance Celtic had this afternoon, they're miles ahead of Rangers, and the Rangers manager, he's got a lot of work to do, because I hate saying this, there's a few Rangers players not good enough if they're even going to challenge Aberdeen, never mind Celtic.
Did he pick the right team this afternoon? Because the changes certainly made a difference to Rangers. Does that indicate that he should have started that way?
I think he was trying to be brave at the beginning with two strikers up front, and Celtic were just dominating the game. Joe Gardner was running about, hardly kicked the ball once or twice, and Celtic just dominated. He changed his formation 3-4 times in the first half, Gerry, and then once we got to half time, I thought, well, he's got to try and get up the park at least, you know, and cause Celtic a couple of problems, and he achieved that with his two substitutions. He's got to be congratulated. That's one thing about this manager I like. He's not frightened to change things at half time. He doesn't wait to 70 minutes or the 60 minutes where Mark Warburton used to change it all the time, like for like. He changed his system once again the second half. It caused Celtic a couple of problems, but there was never any way the Celtic were going to lose a semi-final.
I think Gordon hits it on the head. Celtic won 2-0 while playing well within themselves. That there would be a lot more to come from Celtic if they had been forced to showing it.
Yeah, I think they just cruised throughout the 90 minutes. They kept possession, they were under no pressure, and they were just, they didn't have to go and chase the game. They didn't have to go and go up a gear to go and play any better, to go and get another goal. Even at 2-0, everybody's talking about, 2-0's a strange scoreline. 2-0, they were comfortable. They knew there's no way, albeit Rangers get chances towards the end of the match, but that was always going to happen.
Yeah,
Rangers,
because
Celtic just taking their time, knocking the ball about, keeping possession. And it was just, I think when you look back and how many passes Celtic made compared to Rangers on the day.
Just watching both managers at the end, Hugh, Brendan Rodgers obviously happy. Pedro Caixinha and Brendan Rodgers having a hug, having a long, very friendly conversation at the side of the pitch.
Yeah, some Rangers fans won't like the look of that. Some Rangers fans would prefer the Rangers manager to shake hands with Brendan Rodgers, of course, then get down into the dressing room area. But two civilised men having a civilised greeting at the end of the game, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know what, it showed Caixinha to he'll be thinking of going home tonight. You know, we were so poor there, I'm going to have to strengthen this side. This is when he's got to be speaking to the Dave Kings of this world and say, look,
Derek,
we've just been shown up today by, you know, a side that's far, far better than us. This side is not good enough, the squad is not good enough. I am going to need a fair amount of money to bring better quality into the side next season.
Derek, did a lot of Rangers fans turn up today thinking, with the last couple of results that Rangers have achieved, that there's a wee chance here? And then to turn up and then watch that, I think that made the disappointment.
I think there would have been a few, Murdo. I think the majority of them were coming knowing that Celtic were big favourites.
But they were thinking that Rangers were going to give them a game.
better game than they did today.
They did today. Having
watched the game at Celtic Park, the 1-1 when they got in and about Celtic, the fans would be coming, if you do that same thing today, then it'll be close. But they didn't do that, and Celtic dominated the ball.
Here's Frank in Springbourne. Hi, Frank.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Frank. How are you?
A typical response to Big Johnston, obviously hurting. Anyway, I don't think Celtic were sensational. I thought we were awesome. Awesome is the word. I thought it was a stroll in the park. It was so easy. And I thought we put Pedro and the Poppers in their place. They were absolutely fantastic.
Who in the place? Oh, no, don't repeat that, Frank, just in case. Right, we've gone from sensational now to awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Celtic were playing within themselves. Gordon could see it at Hampden. We could see it here in the studio. They were playing within themselves. They were worthy winners. They put up a terrific performance that spoke volumes for the gap between Celtic and Rangers. But they were not awesome. I mean, if you're awesome, you might have won 6 or 7-0.
But if you're a Celtic fan, it is awesome that Celtic are in the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. That's different. You're in a final.
All we're looking for is a word that adequately sums up Celtic's performance. Awesome is too far one way. Sensational is too far that way as well. They were terrific.
Gary in Burmullock, a Rangers fan. Dare I ask you a word to sum up Rangers' performance today? Remember, we're on the radio.
Dreadful. That's one word to sum it up. I'm going to this. Hey, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I assume you're a mediocre side. Just tell them 54 and counting every time they come on and say that. Huh?
Gary, we've asked the question about, you know, what Rangers fans were expecting before this match.
We were expecting to give them a game today, because we gave them a game at Parkhead. So we're expecting to come here today, give them a game. But I think the formation he played in the first half just didn't suit Rangers at all. You know, playing three up front, you've got to pack the midfield, you've got to play at least five. in the midfield, play Kenny Muller up there himself. You know, we've done that in the past and it's worked. You know, why is he playing three up top? You know, Joey Gardner was never in the game in the first half.
What you can say about that, Gary, is at least he was positive. He wanted to go and have a go at Celtic. It didn't work out. We all know that now. It didn't work out, but he did change it eventually.
Well, definitely. They had to change it, because we weren't getting anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But see all these people coming on and saying Celtic were awesome today. Celtic weren't awesome today. Celtic were playing a very poor side.
Gordon.
A very poor side.
Yeah, I know what people are saying, but I thought he got his tactics terribly wrong, because with the two up front, what it allowed was Scott Brown to dominate the game. And he just strolled about the park. Scott Brown today was probably one of his best games I've witnessed. He was absolutely amazing.
Best game or easiest game?
Probably both. And that's where I think that the Rangers manager, looking at that, you must identify that early and stop Scott Brown getting on. Whether you drop one of your strikers off onto him and say, look, you'll just need to make sure that Scott Brown does not dominate the game from the middle of the park. But time and time again, they let Scott Brown on the ball. And then just off the striker, Dembele, McGregor was the same. And Andy Halliday, for a player who's played at Rangers, you must identify that and say, well, I'll need to sit on there to stop that ball getting in. And it showed the minute the ball went over the top of the Rangers' defence, McGregor's on his own. And he scores that first all-important goal. I thought the Rangers manager, he changed it continuously. And I think he was just crossing his fingers, hoping that something would come off for him. I thought he got his tactics wrong today, to be honest.
Do you think Halliday, Gordon, was subdued by the challenge on Patrick Roberts, the yellow card, possibly could have been a red?
Yeah, but even saying that, Hugh, you've still got to track your runner. You know, the minute McGregor's off and running to go and support Dembele, somebody's got to track him. That's not even a fact of the booking. Now, I hate being disrespectful. I don't know why Andy Halliday was playing today. I don't think he's good enough at this level. I think he's an honest, hard-working lad, but I don't think he's good enough to take Rangers where Rangers supporters want to be and where the Rangers manager and the club want to be. But he was not alone. Let's be honest. He was not alone today.
This is the problem, I think, that they have, Gordon, in the summertime, because Halliday, you're a former Rangers player. You're saying he's not good enough. I don't think Waghorn's good enough. I think Gardner's been a waste of money at £1.8 million. So, you know, as Derek
and
said,
by all accounts, half of that's still to be paid.
Hugh, going back to what Gordon was talking about, tactics, it wasn't all about tactics. It was about the players, the way they played.
Rolling up your sleeves and getting into it.
And just getting in about it, because Rangers, as a team out in the pitch, it can be a different tactic to what the opposition are doing, but the attitude of the players, Celtic cruised that game today. From start to finish, they didn't have to be rushing about. Even at 1-0, they were always going to win the game. 2-0, they were always going to win the game. They were never under any pressure. They cruised it for 90 minutes. Rangers players never pulled their sleeves up to get on with the game.
They were under pressure, you know, for that 12-minute period when they had three or four good chances. You know, when you know Kenny Miller should have scored a couple of goals at least. That goes in.
But they weren't under pressure, Derek. But no, a couple of chances.
But they would have been under pressure if the chances go in. It's all ifs, buts, and maybes again.
Start the second half and Rangers started. I thought Rangers started the second half much better than they played in the first half. For 5 minutes, they've lost the goal. But then it was chance after chance after chance for Celtic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Stephen Sutton on Twitter says, after the week's criticism of our referees, I think Willie Collum and co should be commended for their day's work. McGregor says, Rangers manager laughing with their manager after a shocking display. He hasn't a clue what it's all about.
I did say to you that some Rangers fans would find that an unedifying sight, but I repeat, two civilised men having a civilised greeting with each other at the end of the game, I don't think you can condemn that kind of thing. But it is an introduction to Glasgow for Pedro Caixinha, because lots of Rangers fans will say, what have you got to laugh about after that game?
Well, there'll be no greeting from Mark here in East Kilbride. He's a Celtic fan. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, all right?
Hi, Mark. What are your thoughts?
I just wanted to put the point to a lot of people that Callum McGregor is a kind of unsung hero. I think a lot of Celtic fans treat him as, I don't want to say treat him, but like, he's underrated. He's underrated. I think a lot of great Celtic players are underrated at first.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think, Mark? What do you think is essential that he brings to the Celtic team?
positionally, he seems to be the kind of forgotten man. Like, I think if you're a Rangers manager, you're talking about who to mark and who to do, you know, what you can do against different people. Carl McGregor seems to slip under the radar, and he pops up every.
But you know what, Mark?
That finish today was beautiful.
But you know what? You know, the one man that knows he's got quality is the manager, because the manager's already said that, and he picks him. You know, everybody talks about Celtic, Sinclair and Dembele and Scott Brown. I think you're absolutely right. McGregor just seems to be one of these lads. He's on the bench now and again. He comes on for 10 minutes, gets a couple of runs in the side, but you're absolutely right. I think he's an absolutely smashing
Derek,
player.
When Ronnie Dyler appeared at Celtic and then he started.
I think he's the type of player that Brendan Rodgers will develop, and he'll be the kind of Joe Ledley or the Neil Lennon, the guy that doesn't do your fantastic.
You've got to say one thing, Mark. You've got to say one thing. Watching him today, his strength for me is the way he picks up the positions. He gives midfield and defenders problem because he plays in the pockets and he knows when to drop off. And the midfield players are saying, well, I'll go with him, what will I do? And he caused Rangers all sorts of problems today. And even the fact that the minute that ball, I was watching him, and I'd actually say to Alison, Rangers will need to get somebody on him because he's causing them a problem. The minute that ball went long, if you watch it back again, he's on the move right away. He knows he's going to support Dembele. And the minute Dembele plays it back to him, you're thinking, right, put your laces through it. He actually passed it into the corner of the net. It was a terrific goal.
Absolutely. I think that's Brendan Rodgers' influence. So I think that's what he does to people. I think he gives the outsiders a chance. You know, he builds up their confidence. He lets the star, like Dembele and Griffiths and even Armstrong, he lets them take the limelight. But he seeks the weapons, people like McGregor. He can develop players.
Well, he certainly had a big hand in the victory this afternoon, getting Celtic on the score sheet after just 10 minutes. John McIlvany said Waghorn is the worst pro player I've ever seen. He tackled himself three times today. It was verging on a carry-on movie. Four more to go, says referee, could have sent off three Rangers players today. Halliday, Bierman and Tavernier could all have walked. Brendan says Celtic should take the Halliday tackle as part of their Brown defence this week. Straight red card all day long. Vinny says happy with the win and getting to the final in May. The first 30 minutes was superb, complete domination. And Stu sums it up by saying Celtic were fan dabby dozy. Here's Jamie in Uddingston, who's a Rangers fan. Hi, Jamie.
Hiya, Jamie. Hiya, how you doing?
All right.
I'm just driving back to the game, and I'm a Rangers fan. Me and my son here, but I've got absolutely no complaints about the result. Celtic were by far the better team. They didn't let us play in the first half. The way the team was set up in the first half an hour, we had no width at all. We were sitting in too deep. I think Pedro was wanting to keep it tight as long as he could, and then Celtic obviously just dominated, got a goal, and I think Pedro panicked and he didn't know what to do because we were so narrow. There was no width. The first half, Bierman was out wide and he had the ball a couple of times, but there was nobody in front of him of the left to pass to. And I just thought that it was crying out for Mackay and Dodo to come on at half time, which he did put on, obviously. But there was the penalty, obviously. I couldn't, from where I was sitting, I couldn't see it, but I'm taking it was a penalty because there's nobody complaining about it. But
very much so.
The guy just said it there as well, one of the tweets that Jerry read out there, Martin Waghorn. I mean, he had two chances at Celtic Park, didn't score. He had a couple of chances at Pittodrie, didn't score. And then today again, the header and everything like that. He always gets chances, but he's just not quality. He's not got that quality to finish it. And I thought the best player of the day, the only one I would say pass marks, maybe the goalie, but was Tavernier. I thought Tav was really good going forward today. And he created things and he chased things down, but they only started trying the last bloody 10 minutes.
Yeah. That was their best spell in the game. They had a spell for about 10 or 12 minutes where they created three or four decent chances that would have brought them back into the game. But, you know, you're right. I think, just on the whole, it was a bad, bad day for Rangers. Celtic outfoxed them. They outplayed them. You know, they got the goals when it mattered, and Rangers didn't have anything to hit back at them. And that's something that the manager's got to take into consideration, because in 6 days' time, they're going to be facing each other at Ibrox again.
Thanks very much, Jamie in Uddingston, for that call on Twitter. Espanolification says the worst decision of the match wasn't even the Halliday tackle, it was the foul against Griffiths, who was getting pulled himself inside the box. And Kevin Gold says, I'm a Rangers fan. Rangers were woeful. Celtic played like it was a training match because our passes went astray all the time. It's 18 minutes past two on a Sunday afternoon. You're listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
This is the Open Line. Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
23 minutes past two on Sunday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been watching Celtic against Rangers this afternoon in the semi-final of the William Hill Scottish Cup. It finished Celtic 2, Rangers 0. The goal scorers Callum McGregor and Scott Sinclair from the penalty spot. We're now taking your calls on the open line through until just before the big top 40, which begins at 4 o'clock. The number to call is 0141 951 1025. Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod, Derek Johnson, Gordon DL. What a lineup! And we're joined by Alec in Renfrew. Hi, Alec.
Hi, guys. How you all doing?
All right, Alec. How are you?
No, on top of the world. I think the word we're looking for, Hugh, rather than stupendous and all the rest of it, was dominant. I think we totally dominated the game. Yeah. We could have went up another gear if we wanted to. Last couple of minutes, Rangers come into it. I think more we were messing around at the back between Boyata and Gordon. I think they need to start clearing the ball every now and then. Yeah. But I think the word was dominant.
You couldn't quibble with that one.
No.
Dominant from start to finish. And you're right, the last 10 minutes, a little bit of sloppiness crept in, carelessness. Rangers got a couple of chances at that point. You can never, ever take your eye off the ball in this particular fixture.
I think as well, obviously, with Boyata and that, they obviously offered the Rangers a chance to come forward. They really got to start to clear their lines, I think. But one other wee thing was the referee's performance. Derek, I'm going to ask you, do you not think at least one Rangers player should have been sent off today?
I thought Halliday was very lucky. Very lucky early on in the game. And see, when people say, well, it's only in the first couple of minutes, you can't send them off for it. No, whether it's a tackle like that in the first minute or the 89th minute, you just cannot do that. It was reckless. And had Patrick Roberts not read the tackle and jumped out the road of it, you know, it could have been a bad one. So he was very, very lucky not to get a red there. Yeah.
Can I just remind you, Derek, because you've used that word a lot this afternoon, reckless is a yellow.
Yeah, but reckless and dangerous.
It's a yellow.
When you put the two of them in. No, not reckless. Dangerous.
Dangerous and reckless. No. Those specific words, Derek, dangerous and reckless. Just for your own reference, I'm not getting it.
Well,
for your own reference, I checked it up this week. Dangerous and reckless is a yellow card. Red cards are serious foul play and violent conduct.
Well, the thing is, if Roberts hadn't have jumped out the road, then it would have been serious. Mm. So because he jumps out the road because he's read the challenge, it's not a red card. I don't go along with that at all. It was just a bad challenge. Stupidity after a couple of minutes. And he could have got a red card.
I'm just trying to help you out by letting you know, just for your own reference.
No, don't tell me.
If you're not having it, then
no,
fine.
I'm not having it.
All right, Graham. How are you, Graham?
Not great, but I'm just back for that game. Derek, see, for the first 30 minutes of that game, I was embarrassed for that. I've watched Rangers for 1963 and never been felt out in my life before. See, if he'd sent Halliday off, he'd have done as a thumb. Mm. He was shocking.
But he wasn't the only one, Graham.
He wasn't
the only one. It's as poor a Rangers performance as I've seen for a long, long time. Certainly against Celtic.
Derek, if he was being meant to be picking up the boy Armstrong, I got closer to Armstrong than him. Marr was getting him at every time that boy picked the ball. Halliday was nowhere near him. Shocking, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem you're talking about, Alex, especially the first 30 minutes that you're going on about being embarrassed, when Rangers got the ball, which wasn't that often, they couldn't pass the ball, make two or three passes.
There was no out ball.
They kept giving the ball away. And it was just, you know, it was amateur, to be honest, sitting watching it. And you're shaking your head thinking, these are professional footballers that are playing with Rangers and they can't pass the ball for 5 yards. It was incredible. But as everyone said, Celtic thoroughly deserved it. And I do believe that they had another gear to go up as well.
So if that was embarrassing for you, Graham, and all the years that you've been watching at Rangers, what do you think needs to be done about it? Is it something that Pedro Caixinha can do?
Well, not this season, he can't do nothing. But you can't do nothing with the players. They've gone. You just need to, when you give him a shot at it, bring his own players in, get a different system. But
It was unbelievable, mate. Unbelievable.
Graham, was there not a different attitude the last time the Rangers played, when they played at Celtic Park? They get the late equaliser and everybody's saying, oh, that was a fantastic performance.
Where
was that performance today then? Do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. We don't know. They go for that to that.
Aye. Because it was
Celtic were always good. Celtic have got better players, we know that. But see, every player goes into the dressing room after the game, looks at yourself and goes, I've done my best. You can't argue with that if you get beat. Yep. Like, you couldn't do that today.
I think at the end of the season, it's time for the hard questions. First of all, is Kenny Miller getting a contract?
No.
Is Clint Hill getting a contract?
Okay. No, I don't think so. No.
Is Martin Waghorn good enough to play for Rangers?
No, he's going to get a game for the Vale of Clyde. Him. His murder.
Has Joe Gardner been a waste of money?
Oh, we got a good song out of him. That was no bad. Aye, 2 million for a song.
So these are Graham is giving you.
He's
the
going for a song.
He's giving you the heartfelt reaction of the Rangers supporters, and this for me is the worry. As Derek said earlier, it's Dave King's job now, and Rangers supporters are ticking the names off. Gardner, not good enough to keep. Waghorn, no, not good enough to keep.
Windass came on, but yeah, you know.
So there's a real rebuilding job required.
I think there was always a rebuilding job here before the game today. Because there are a lot of these Rangers players that have come up from the Championship, played well in the Championship, but they just cannot raise a gallop in this league. They're not good enough to play in this league. So that's why, and it's hard to get rid of, but I keep saying that, to get rid of a player, that player, if he's got a 2-year contract, is not going to say, no, I'm not going to walk away. I'm quite happy playing here and picking up X amount. I'm not going to get that any other place. So it's difficult to get rid of players, but he has to bring in better players than he's got just now, or it'll be the same again next season.
As Gordon said, it's not catching Celtic.
Catching everybody else.
Catching Aberdeen first.
Not just Aberdeen, because as I keep saying, only Partick Thistle, the ones that haven't taken any points off Rangers this season.
But there was another thing that Rangers fans hoped that Pedro Caixinha could do, Murdo, and that would be getting more out of the players that were there, because the Rangers don't have the money to pay off all of these players and bring in a completely new squad. So Pedro Caixinha has to get more out of the players currently there.
Well, you felt the game at Celtic Park, because he just arrived, he didn't take any part of it. He said they sat in the stand, they never came into the dressing room, all these kind of things. So that was Graham Murphy who was doing all the stuff at Celtic Park. Then you watch the performance, a fine performance, get back in late in the game, got a goal, and you're thinking he's got the players all ready for a game. That's an old firm performance, fighting back. You watched that today, and Caixinha's in charge now. He's got to do the same. Whether they play great football or anything, the attitude's got to be 10 times better than what happened to Rangers today.
What you have to do, if you know that you're playing against a Celtic side that have got better players than you, and they're so far ahead in the league and everything else, the one thing that you can offer, it's the same as them, is effort. If you're putting the effort in and you're running about and you're challenging, you're getting close, you're stopping them playing and everything else, that's as well as you can do. Rangers didn't do that today. They sat back and allowed Celtic to pass the ball. Even when it got to the last third, Celtic players always had that bit of room to get the ball in turn. This was a different performance today than it was in that 1-1 game.
I don't recall Rangers getting the ball in the right-hand side and then knocking it into the middle of the park, knocking it out to wide left. Mm. That never happened. Or from the back into the middle of the park onto one of the forward players. That never happened.
I mean, we're going to hear from Pedro Caixinha shortly, Gordon DL. I mean, one thing he has said that we'll hear from him says that Rangers gave Celtic far too much respect. How much responsibility does he have for that?
As I said, Gerry, I thought he set his team up wrong and they kept changing it. I don't know if it was too much respect or Celtic's movement was just too good. He started with Heinemann on the right-hand side here, and he just looked out of his comfort zone, and Miller started wide left, Waghorn and Joe Gardner, who never kicked the ball up top, and it didn't work. He's got to take it. It's okay the lad's saying about commitment, and I totally understand that. But he's now talking about how many days he works with these players and getting his ideas over and training. But you've got to have a game knowledge when you go out onto the pitch. For instance, how did you go through 90 plus minutes and not realise that Scott Brown could have played with his suit on, without putting somebody on him to stop him building from the back and putting passes into midfield. How can you look at McGregor in these spaces and not put somebody on him to say, well, he's causing us a danger? I think the Rangers manager's got to take a bit of responsibility. We can have a go at the players, but he's got to get that game knowledge over to them, because if he keeps playing like this, next week Celtic will dominate once again at Ibrox.
When he came in, Hugh Keevans, Pedro Caixinha said that he has the best squad in Scotland. It didn't look like it this afternoon.
That was an ill-advised remark that he made. I can just about understand why he made it. He was trying to talk everybody up. You're hardly not you're not going to walk in on your first day and say, do you know what? This lot are hopeless. I'll need to move them on. So I understand why he said it, but it was clearly untrue. And I think games crystallise the situation. When Ronnie Dyla had reached the end of his time at Celtic, it was a Rangers game that proved it. The loss to Rangers at Hampden in a semi-final was enough for Dermot Desmond to say, right, that's enough.
Yeah,
he'll need to go and we'll get a proper manager. The result today has shown Pedro Caixinha that the majority of his squad aren't up to it. If the job is catching Celtic, the majority of his squad are not up to the job. I do take Derek's point on board that you can't just get them out if they're under contract, but that's his problem. He's going to have to work out what can be done and what cannot be done. But the majority of that squad cannot catch Celtic because they're not good enough.
Here is Rangers manager Pedro Caixinha.
I think we give we respect too much the opponent, especially on the first half. And by respecting the opponent, we drop off too much on the park. It was not what we were preparing along the week. And we could not annul Scott Brown, so as Armstrong, which, according to my opinion and according to my analysis from the game and the previous matches to prepare this one, were the guys that can create all the imbalances. So regarding to that, and if you add the early goal that you conceded, the team was difficult to find one way to have the ball, one way to have a counter-attack, and one way to set up like an invited pressing defending when, especially on the wide areas, we could not do it like that. So in the half-time, we tried to change the things. We changed two players and we changed Kenny in order to be more in position to contain Scott Brown. We get good on the second half. Let's say that the first 4 minutes until the penalty, the team was there, and the penalty changed a little bit the things for the last for the next 10 minutes. In that moment, definitely Celtic was having the momentum. And after that, we could get again on the game. We have some scoring chances, but we didn't score. So I think that we needed to be more aggressive defending, even if they don't have so many scoring chances so clear. We need to have more aggressive defending because it was going to be the basis of our attack. I mean, attacking, defending, closing the spaces, closing the target players, recover the ball in the higher positions on the park and after play some transitions. We could not do it. And they perform almost of the second half the way we would like to perform, with space and more conditions to have the transition. So I think they deserve to win by the overall of the game. And we could have done, and we should have done much, much better.
Gondiel, are you surprised to hear Pedro Caixinha admit there that he knew Scott Brown was going to be a key man for Celtic?
Incredible. I'm surprised, Gerry. If he knows that, then why does he start with two up front and leave Scott Brown the middle of part free? Why not go with a game plan that he's just saying, well, we've done our homework, we know that Armstrong and Brown are danger men. But he never even mentioned McGregor. McGregor just played off the striker, Dembele, when he was on, and picked up everything and caused Rangers all sorts of problems. And he's new into the country and Scottish football, but I honestly think he got his tactics woefully wrong today. And you're talking about, he said, in the second half, we recognised Scott Brown. Scott Brown still dominated the full 90 minutes. He was a man of the match by a country mile. So I don't know if he's getting the message clearly over to his players. But he said that he recognised it. But for me, he didn't solve it.
The phrase he repeated more than once there was, "We could not do it." So I think he's had a look at the game today, and it has fully opened his eyes. They could not do this, they could not do that. It's fully opened his eyes, Gordon. He's had a, what, that was his sixth game, I think, in charge of Rangers. And he now knows.
And his first defeat, let's be honest. It was his first defeat.
Yeah, but he now knows in his own mind, to use the Martin O'Neill word, Celtic are the benchmark.
Yeah.
So he has to assess how far away from the benchmark he is. And today he's thought, we're a long way away from it. So already he is mentally preparing the squad for next season and working out just how many have no further part to play
You'll be thinking as well, Hugh, you know, he sat in the stand and watched the game at Celtic Park, one each, and he would have been happy with that performance, especially getting the late equaliser, coming away from there, the environment and everything else. Yeah, we're not, maybe not as bad as people think we are. Then all of a sudden, you look at it today, it's gone from one extreme to the other. So he's saying, you know, I'm thinking I've got some decent players here, but I don't think I have.
Derek, the big chance for all the players is next week for the Rangers, because if the ones who didn't perform today, which is the team, and most of them perform next week, then they'll be thinking maybe it was an off day, because they'll look back at the Aberdeen game and thinking, dominated the first half an hour out the game, and then three quick goals. But next week, well, a lot of the players, their futures up for grabs.
Now, let's be honest, Murdo, if Celtic win next week at Ibrox, despite the fact that this is effectively Mark Warburton's team, there will be a lot of Rangers fans think Cassini's not up to it.
Well, that's the thing. It's just what we talk about. Gordon's talking about tactics. That's fine. You can talk about that all day long. Attitude, that's got to be spoken about, because if you're going to get your team wound up to play against Celtic in a semi-final, a chance of winning a national trophy, and you turn up and your team doesn't turn up, that's to do with the manager as well.
I think there will be some Rangers fans that will think that way. I think by far the majority will know that this is not his team. He'll be judged next season when he brings in his players, and if it doesn't start off in the first couple of months, then he'll get started. I don't think you can blame him for what's going on now.
Paul is in Helensburgh. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Jerry. Thanks for taking my call. 2 points. I thought that something that got overlooked at the second goal was the pass from Boyata to Patrick Roberts, and the amount of ground that Lee Griffiths made up to collect the ball to go in and win the penalty. Not a bad substitute to bring on, was he?
No, and he had to show a turn of pace here to get to the ball first and win the penalty.
Yeah, Celtic are very fortunate that with the loss of Moussa Dembele, and it may be the loss of Dembele for the remainder of the season, given the nature of the injury, very fortunate to have Lee Griffiths there, and he already looks a happy boy, because he knows he's going to get a run in the team now. He clearly feels good about himself. He'll be looking forward to Ibrox. He knows he may be in line for a Scottish Cup final appearance. So it's very fortunate for Celtic that Lee Griffiths is still there.
He certainly looked sharp when he came on.
Yeah.
Normally, if you haven't played for a long time, you can train, as Murdo will tell you as well, you can train as much as you like, but you need game time. You need the sharpness of running, getting into position, getting your control, getting your shot away, and he looked very, very sharp when he came on.
Getting onto the pitch, Griffiths, the amount of shots he had coming on just for that short space of time, and he's always wanting to go and shoot. Even when he first came on, we're talking about it, there's no way he's going to shoot from the corner of the box, and then he's just dipped the ball into the front post. Just great attitude towards having strikes on target.
Murdo is a man in the mood to remind everyone, including Brendan Rodgers, of what he is capable of doing.
Yep.
And he looks right up for the job now.
Still more to come from Pedro Caixinha, and we'll hear from the victorious manager, Brendan Rodgers. You're listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
You could be next on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard open line. Call now on 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 3:15.
There's no one in the place.
You're listening to Sunday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic 2, Rangers 0. It finished at Hampden Park. We're still waiting to hear from Brendan Rodgers. That'll be along very shortly. Let's speak to Craig, though, in Cumbernauld. He's a Rangers fan. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, panel. How you doing?
Good day. Hi, Craig.
I was going to speak about the game today and the Old Firm, and we could speak about Pedro and tactics and formation, but a lot of the points have been covered, so I'll give yourself and the panel 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
One, is Pedro the right man for the job? Two, is King the right man for the job? And three, is the main priority for Rangers fans stopping Celtic doing 10 in a row?
All right, why don't you answer your three questions first then, Craig? Is Pedro the right man for the job?
Pedro, undecided. I was a Warburton fan. I think Warburton played the right football. He was trying to do the right thing, just didn't have the personnel to do it. Two, don't know if King's the man. Put his money where his mouth is. And three, ultimately, yes, stop them doing 10 in a row.
Okay, I'll run through the three for you. Is he the right man? Next season will determine that, when he has a transfer window in the summer and you find out if he can close a yawning chasm of a gap between Rangers and Celtic. Number two, Dave King. Dave King has made a lot of claims about the kind of money that might be available to Rangers, promised to overinvest if necessary. Dave King is now going to spend the summer on trial, so far as the Rangers supporters are concerned, because they now know that they need a real upgrade in quality if they are to get even within remote touching distance of Celtic. And number three, 10 in a row, of course, it's the priority for every Rangers supporting man, woman and child. They do not want to see Celtic make history.
It's the priority not to stop Rangers, Celtic doing 7. And then 8 and then 9 before they get to 10.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, but of course it is.
But the caller already fears that 10 in a row is a distinct possibility. I'm not going to say it. I am not going to say for as long as. But Brendan Rodgers has got a 4-year contract. And the way things look at the moment, he will dominate Rangers.
Are you giving Celtic titles 7, 8 and 9, Craig?
If we take today as an example, there's a lot of callers have called in saying Celtic, some saying they were superb, others saying they were playing within themselves. If they were playing within themselves today, then 10 in a row has got to be a serious problem.
And
the problem, it comes down to the cash and the money. But I think even if Rangers were to dig deep and spend a couple of million, the problem we've got is Celtic can quite easily go out and spend. If we spend two, they'll spend four, five, six.
Celtic will bring better players in the summer. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Craig, because they want to do better in Europe.
They're 35 points behind just now. It shows you there's a massive gap between 33. Sorry. There's a massive gap between the two clubs, albeit after the last game at Celtic Park. Oh yeah, we got a draw and all this kind of thing, but it's getting closer. Maybe on a match day it could get close, but the difference between both clubs is 33 points. It's so far behind. That's when Rangers now have got to look at, they've got to try and close the gap by bringing in better players, spending more money. But the big problem for Rangers, Celtic will still go out to improve.
See, that's not the problem. The problem is getting beyond Aberdeen first and getting beyond a lot of these other clubs. I mean, I keep saying it, Ross County, Rangers haven't beaten, drawn 3 times with Ross County. You know, Rangers dropping all these points, that's the reason they're 30-odd points behind.
Let's hear from Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers.
I thought we played absolutely brilliant in the game. Everything you would want from your team to play in terms of composure and temperament, technical quality. You know, we started the game very well. Good positioning. You know, I think we felt in the League Cup final here, it was a similar idea. You know, we controlled the game early on and get a rhythm. And first half in particular, we were outstanding. Great goal. The only disappointment was that we didn't score more. We restricted Rangers to, you know, to very few opportunities. You know, our back line was really aggressive and staying high, so any time they did get in behind, we were in good positions to sort us offside. Second half, you expect a little bit more from them. And these are the areas of that we've become better in, so coping with those moments of pressure. But we get the second goal, again shows another element to our game, the speed in our counter-attack. Then at 2-0, we were comfortable. My only item I said to the players is that going forward, what we're showing a good balance to our game, showing a real good tactical level, but how we can improve in that moment is sometimes at 2-0, you think the game, you don't think it's won, but you're comfortable in the game. So sometimes you look for the rest, but you're better to rest with the ball than without the ball. And that was my only pointer in the game. That allowed them a little spell of about 15 minutes with a couple of opportunities. But over the course of the game, to play a Celtic Rangers game to that level and that quality, it makes me very proud of the team. And obviously 12 months on from where they were last year, it really shows the level that they've gone to. So, very pleased.
You're now just one game from winning the treble. Is this the point now that you start to let yourself think about this?
Not really. It's one where that'll be a really good game. You know, Aberdeen watching the game yesterday had a great, you know, fight back in the game, and we expect that from Neil's team. But Aberdeen got through, they're in the final. And for us, we'll just prepare well. You know, I think our medical sports science team, our players, they need a huge amount of credit because we had every single player available for this game. I said it about 3-4 weeks ago that the idea was to arrive in this game at the best level that we could, so I could have a choice of players, what tactically to put into the game, and that's where we were at. Every player fit, ready, and then we'll look over the next few weeks at looking at a number of things, but again, looking to peak for the Scottish Cup final.
Hugh Keevan, so far this afternoon, callers have called Celtic sensational and awesome. Well, Brendan Rodgers has added outstanding to that list.
Andy mentioned brilliant. You need to keep it in perspective. Celtic were dominant, as Alec, the earlier caller, said. They were outstanding, as Brendan Rodgers said. I still maintain they were playing well within themselves. There was another gear or two to be found if Celtic had needed it. So for me, that's the greatest concern for Rangers, that Celtic just played them off the park but weren't really at full throttle.
Here's Robert, who is in Lanark. Hi, Roberts.
Hi there. How are you doing, gentlemen?
How are you, Robert?
Good, thanks.
I'm fine, thank you. I'd phoned up on Friday evening to discuss the Glasgow Cup final with the under-17s.
Mm-hmm.
I'd thought it was a real refreshing game. There was some good talent on show. And my main point was I would hope it would carry on for the game today. I believe it did. I've heard you saying earlier that there's people been tweeting in or whatever, saying that there should have been 3 Rangers players sent off. I don't believe that for a minute. I think everyone deserved a booking, but there were hard challenges. They were a bit late. Didn't deserve to be sent off. Now, I've just been listening there to Brendan saying how exceptional we were, but I must admit, I've got to agree with you. I think they play well within themselves. I believe that they put on a professional performance. They went out there, made sure they weren't going to get beat and control the game, and that was it. Stuart Armstrong and Sinclair were posted missing quite a lot of the game because I think the rain's been put on them to make sure that they were doing their defensive duty along with their attacking duty. As I said, I think Celtic were playing well within themselves. I think the game was played in a good spirit. I think you've seen that at the end with Brendan and Pedro. And it was refreshing to see.
Refreshing, says Robert in Lanark.
Yeah, you know, Pedro Caixinha is not to be criticised for shaking hands and sharing convivial words with Brendan Rodgers, no matter how it might look to disappointed Rangers supporters. However, I agree with everything that the caller said there. Celtic did win the match 2-0 while playing well within themselves. Rangers got off lightly at 2-0. The real test lies ahead for Pedro Caixinha.
Miss Doc says, to be honest, I don't think the best manager in the world could do much with that Rangers side. We need a clear out and millions spent. Still to come, we're going to hear from the man of the match this afternoon, which was Celtic captain Scott Brown. You're listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
This
This is the Open Line. Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
0141 951 1025. That's the number to get through to the Open Line. We're here till just before 4 o'clock. Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod, Derek Johnson and Gordon DL, who's at Hampden Park. Celtic 2, Rangers 0 was the final score this afternoon, and that is the current scoreline in the one game being played in the English Premier League at the moment, Derek.
Just coming up to half time, and Man United 2 goals up. Martial with the first one. Wonderful move, you have to say, and just slotted the ball home. And then Wayne Rooney, who's back for the first game for the first time in ages. A wee bit fortunate. I went through the defender's legs and stuck it in it. So 2-0 Man United. And in the Birmingham derby, Aston Villa won by a goal to nil. So Harry Redknapp's first game in charge, defeat.
Let's go to the phone lines and speak to, we've got a couple of Rangers fans here. Here's Stephen in Garrow Hill. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, panel.
Hi, Stephen.
It's really a point to big DJ Derek. I'm a wee bit puzzled and worried there. When you heard Kitsina's comments after the game, he pinpointed Brown and Armstrong.
Yeah.
We've known for the best part of 2 years, and I know you try to be decent when you're on the radio. The fact of the matter is you fine well know, I haven't played the game. We've known for 2 years that the Rangers defenders simply aren't good enough.
Yes.
Wards then goes and gives the guy Kiernan another 2.5 year contract. Fine, he wasn't in the game. If you go to midfield, Kitsina's on about Brown and Armstrong. Everybody knows Celtic's two best players is Sinclair and Armstrong, who effectively today were really, really
didn't play,
they weren't really in the game, which makes it all the more disturbing. The first thing he would have done was pack midfield with at least five players. What did he do? Mm-hmm. We basically had two players in midfield and three up front who weren't even getting the ball. Incidentally, the one each game at Parkhead, as Murdo was touching on, if Rangers had attained the chances at Felty Waghorn, which, within reason, were the best chances in the game, they would have won the game.
Yep.
What happened today? The two best chances we had, incidentally, the one he headed over the bar was a total disgrace. He had a free header inside the box at goal. We need a complete clear-out, Derek.
Well, that's why I said earlier, I think he's watched that today. He watched the 1-1 game at Celtic Park, and he'd say to himself, well, we're maybe not as bad as everybody's suggesting we are. And then you watch that today, you know, it's just night and day with the performances. He knows he's got to get better players in there.
So Derek, what happens then if Rangers come out and they turn up on Saturday? Does that mean then if they put on a good performance, it gets kiddied on again?
No, we're
not getting kiddied, Derek.
No, absolutely.
We're ready to go.
Listen, he's not been kidded either. He's watched that performance today. And, you know, you wouldn't have been happy with the majority of players that played there today. I think it'll be a different side that'll play next week. He now knows how Celtic will play yet again. And he'll get a different... He probably won't play with two up, that's for sure, next weekend. I think there will be changes. I think the Dodos and people like that will all get a game next week. And there may well be as many as 4 or 5 changes, because he's got to see what else he's got. That wasn't good enough today for Rangers Football Club. There was a lack of heart. Hold on. There was a lack of heart. There was a lack of fight. There was a lack of ability at times. You know, so he knows he needs better players next week if Rangers are going to compete with Celtic and Ibrox.
Derek, the real worrying thing is, despite the defence, we all know it's well documented, it's woeful, but the midfield, Derek, we don't have one single player in our whole squad that can dictate a game.
Yeah.
Not one player, not one.
Well, I'll say something to you. They don't have a leader, and I've been saying that for about 3 years now. There's no leadership on the park, and that is a problem. And remember, next season, there's no Toral, there's no Heinemann. You know, people have been playing, you know, regularly. They're not going to be there. So he's got to fill out what they need. The first thing I would do if I was that manager, and I'm looking at that team, and I'm looking at how they're playing, there's no... He would look at Scott Brown, because he knew all about Scott Brown and how he dictates play. He needs somebody like that on his side. Now, I don't know where you get him. I know Pedro Mendes, his agent, has got a lot of players, probably a lot of foreign players. Maybe that's the road to go down. I don't know. But he needs far better players than he's got just now. Never mind competing with Celtic. You've got to compete with Aberdeen first and a few of the other teams.
Thanks a lot to Stephen there in Garrow Hill. Here's Scott in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jerry. Good evening, panel.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Just about the game again today.
Mm.
I think a couple of Rangers fans on before me kind of stole a few points that I was going to say, but
couple of noticeable things. I think he made a mistake playing Gardner at the start. He made a few mistakes, but it's not a criticism towards the manager, because I think, no matter... I mean, I don't think there's one Rangers fan right now that thinks that they're going to go into the game against Celtic next week and win that game. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's just hoping. And I think I heard Gerry saying earlier, you know, if Rangers get beat next week, there's going to be questions asked by the manager. Absolutely not. I think the quicker that this season's over for Rangers, and especially the fans, for the hurt that they're going through, but it's just a phase. He really needs to bring in new players. As Rangers fans, and myself again watching it, it was absolutely embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely embarrassing. And that's no me taking that away from Celtic. They weren't the awesome. They weren't the absolute super fantastic. Yep. Rangers were poor, very poor. But Celtic were dominant, as somebody says, and they really deserved to win the game.
But you know what? People go on about tactics and got the tactics wrong, which, you know, you may not have. But you know what? If players don't play, tactics mean absolutely nothing. The manager could have spoken to them, you know, since Tuesday of last week when they were training. We're wanting to do this, get involved here, we're going to close them down. If players don't do that on the day and don't play, then tactics don't come into it at all. There was a lack of heart and a lack of fight from Rangers today. That's the reason they get beat.
See the first half, Derek. Rangers sat back far too deep. And while, you know, you heard me saying earlier there, I don't think there's any Rangers fans that expect to beat Celtic next week. But see next week at Ibrox, I think it will be a totally different Rangers kind of start. They need
to
really
attitude has to be better.
They can't sit back like you sit back against Celtic, or just going to, and see, to be honest, the scoreline absolutely flattered them. I've seen Rangers playing a lot better than getting pumped 5-1. Sorry for the word pumped. Beat 5-1.
But
beat 5-1. So the scoreline flattered them. See, considering how really bad they were, 2-0 isn't too bad.
There were elements of the testimonial match about the second half. Celtic were so dominant. They were just chasing shadows, Rangers. Next Saturday at Ibrox, I think, will be back to basics, if you like. I think it'll be the old style fire and brimstone Rangers-Celtic game, because it's the last one of the season. Rangers have laid a glove on Celtic in the sense they got a 1-1 draw at Celtic Park, but they've been knocked out of two cup competitions by Celtic. They're 33 points behind Celtic in the league. It could be 36 if Celtic win at Ibrox. So I think it'll be fire and brimstone. And if Celtic are still the dominant team, then I think there'll be an outcry.
Rangers will get pelters this weekend, and rightly so, just the way they played. They are absolutely terrible. Now, if that doesn't get these players fired up for next week, as much as I said in the 1-1 game, like I said, Dembele, we must have been raging, reading all the stuff about how terrible game, Sinclair was terrible, they were all terrible. They come out, you know, and all of a sudden they're a different side. I hope Rangers have got that next week, because they will get so much stick for this the performance today. If that doesn't lift them next week, then there's something far wrong.
The biggest thing, Derek, for next week, the manager will be looking at his team and it'll be similar to what was out there today.
I don't think so, Derek.
He's already looked at the other guys, and that's why they're not playing today. Why they're on their bench.
He thinks
these are the top team, and that's why you don't pick guys you don't think are the best at your club, and that's the best he's picked at the club. Even the two young kids been in there today. He's thinking they're the best bet to play along the back four than the older guys. So what he'll be doing next week, he'll be looking at them, and he's got to go with a few of them. He might change Dudo and
I think there's every chance Mackay and Dodo will play
a wee bit of pace, but apart from that, you're not going to have many changes.
Well, I don't know if Hill is fit and Hill gets a good week's training. I think you might get Hill back next week for
Rangers,
his experience.
Instead of Bates.
Rangers supporters coming onto this programme today are admitting that they feel an inferiority complex on the park where Celtic are concerned. They're just describing in their different ways Celtic's domination of the game and Rangers' abject performance. So next week, amid the fire and brimstone, if Celtic overcome Rangers again, then the Rangers supporters will then be really upset, I think.
Gordon Dalziel, if you're in Pedro Kashina's shoes, do you give the players the chance to to make amends next Saturday, or do you make, obviously you can't make wholesale changes to the squad because you don't have the personnel, but do you take today's game and think, right, the players can't be that bad twice in a row?
No, I think Derek's right. I think there will be a few changes made next week at Ibrox. The one thing I can understand from him, Gerry, is his first game, he sat in the stand at Celtic Park and he watched a good performance from Rangers. And it was because of they flooded the midfield and they played one up front and didn't give Celtic the space to play. And yet he turns up here in the semi-final and right from the off, goes with two up top. So he's certainly got to learn that lesson. I don't see that happening next week. But you're right, he's got the squad, he's inherited, and there's a lot of it not good enough. But I think one or two, I agree with Derek, I think there'll be two or three changes next week. He's got to make something, because if he goes with the same guys like the Joe Garners of this world, then it's just going to be the same again for Celtic. They'll dominate and win the game.
Let's hear from the man of the match, Celtic captain Scott Brown.
It was an outstanding performance, very, very professional from start to finish. And I think the second half we knew they would come out and change tactics, and the gaffer are already, they sorted pretty much their team at half time. So we were already ahead of them that way, and we knew they'd come out, press us high up the park, and our pace and our quality it showed at the end.
Were you surprised how much you had it your own way, particularly in the first half?
No, I think we knew if we turned up and we played to our strengths and our movement and our pace, that we can control the game, and we've done that for the first 45 minutes.
We've been talking about this treble all season, but now it really is within touching distance. Sum up how great an achievement it's been so far.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic season. It's been great to give something back to the fans as well, especially after a couple of seasons ago when we didn't make the cup final. But it's more for them than anything, and we've got great players in that dressing room, and now everyone's fighting for a position in the cup final now.
Just think to a year ago, standing here after getting beaten off Rangers, can you even put into words how far the team's come since then?
No, it's night and day since then. We're so much fitter and stronger, but it's just great. The manager's came in, he's changed a few things, not too many, and it's all shown on the pitch now.
Scott, in a strange sort of way, do you think that was even more comfortable than the 5-1 win?
I think we knew if we turned up that we're the better team. We've got the top quality players that can change games in an instant, and they showed their qualities yet again today. And Scotty, and even missing, and we've got people coming off the bench like Lee, James and Tom Rodgick, and there's not a lot of teams in Scotland that have got that strength and depth, so we're using our squad really, really well.
So what's the message from the Celtic dressing room, that Celtic are just going to get stronger and stronger?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the main thing, and you don't want to sit about and be settled for what we're doing now, but we need to keep getting better, and the gaffer's always pushing for that little bit extra. And there was a 15 minute period that we didn't keep the ball, and he was a little bit disappointed in that, but the main thing was we got to a cup final.
Celtic captain Scott Brown there. Still to come, we'll hear from Rangers defender Danny Wilson, we'll hear from Celtic's penalty hero this afternoon, Scott Sinclair. Quick thoughts on Scott Brown's comments here.
Well, what a difference a year makes. Celtic today fitter, stronger than they were a year ago when Rangers put them out of the Scottish Cup under Ronnie Dyla. You get what you pay for, and his name is Brendan Rodgers.
Here's Patrick in Royston. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, Patrick, you're sounding a bit hoarse.
No, I'm actually okay. I've actually been a bit hoarse because I was in that game today, and I was to the game, Mr. Sanderson, the late Jimmy Sanderson. I was in that game today, but I listened to it.
Well, okay, good man. And how do you feel now?
I know you appreciate that. I'd like to speak to Murdo.
Yes, Murdo's here.
Yeah.
How you doing, Murdo?
I'm very well, thanks, yourself.
I'd appreciate that, that's great.
Good.
Listen, do you think it was a master stroke today by playing Patrick Roberts instead of James Forrest?
Obviously, I think Patrick started the game really well, played well, just caused problems to the young fullback. But the young fullback, I thought, battled away with. But I think the manager made the change with 10, 15 minutes to go just to give James Forrest a game, because I think he's trying to be loyal to both players.
No, yes, no, of course.
And I think that's a good thing about the manager.
Do you think, sorry for interrupting, sir, pardon, can you go on?
No, carry on, Patrick.
On you go.
What I'd like to say is, see, like James Forrest is a great young player, right? But do you think Brendan Rodgers is going to stick with James Forrest because Patrick Roberts isn't going to be there at the end of the season?
I think if it's going to be too much money for Celtic to bring Patrick Roberts to the club, I think James Forrest will still be there, because I don't think there's much difference between the two players. I know Patrick, I think technical wise, I think Patrick's a better skillful player, but James Forrest, he uses his speed a wee bit more and just runs by people.
But will Brendan Rodgers be thinking about the position, well, I don't need to look at that position because I've got Jamesy Forrest? With Patrick Roberts not being there,
the manager will be looking at every position, and I think that's the thing he's going to do. Sometimes you'll get a surprise that somebody's going to come into the club, but I think the most important thing for Brendan, he'll be bringing in players that's better than what they've got, just to make the whole club better.
Gordon, for you, is that an area of the pitch that Brendan Rodgers may be looking at?
I think he'll strengthen two or three players. I thought he got it spot on today. I felt sorry for a young lad, Bierman. I thought he's facing Patrick Roberts, and then all of a sudden he goes off and James Forrest comes on.
I thought he did well in the second half, yeah, the kid, though. For somebody who'd already been booked and he had to watch, with his next challenge. Yeah, I thought he did all right.
You guys were thinking, and a little bit like myself, Derek, that will he take a risk and keep him on, or will he he could easily have taken him off and brought Hodgson on at full back and covered them. But I thought the young lad for this sort of occasion, and especially against these two guys, because Roberts is very tricky. He'll take you inside, he'll take you down the wing, and then all of a sudden Forrest, I think, is the quicker of the two. But the boy handled it. But I think, looking at the Brendan Rodgers squad, I think he'll strengthen in different areas. I do think he'll bring in another wide man. I think he could even look at that number. They keep talking about this number 10 he wants, this creative player, but I'll tell you what, the way McGregor played today, he'd be very hard to shift out the team.
Well, we're looking at Sergio Aguero here, who plays number 10 for Manchester City, playing at Wembley in the Cup semi-final against Arsenal. 16 minutes gone in that one, it's 0-0. Let's hear from Rangers defender Danny Wilson.
Massively disappointed. I think the disappointing aspect of the game for us was we never really got going at all at any time, and gave them far too much time on the ball, and when you do that to a quality team, they're going to punish you, and that's what we found.
Why was that? Is it clearly not a deliberate game plan? Is it a fear factor? Why do you think you sat off them so much early on?
I think just the way we set up, we set up to try and frustrate and hit them on the counter, and maybe just end up giving them too much time and too much space. And like I say, if you do that to quality players, they're going to punish you. And we try to make the changes at half time, but obviously the penalty 5 minutes into the half changes it and kills the game. So we just need to try to move on for it as quickly as possible. We're really disappointed, obviously, not getting to the final, but I don't think we can have too many complaints over the 90 minutes that we didn't go through.
You had a bit of a goal late on. Is it a case of too little too late at that point?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's it's easy to play when you're 2-0 down. I think when the game's level or 1-0, we had to show more, and then unfortunately for ourselves we didn't do that today. We had some young players on the pitch today, and hopefully going forward they can learn from that, we can all learn from it, and try to be in a better place, the next time these games come round.
You've obviously got again next week. How important is it you try and lift yourselves with that?
Yeah, of course. I think we're at home, we'll go out and give everything we've got. I don't think there was it was in a lack of effort today. I think we did try. It was just we were maybe just too far off them and gave them too much respect at times, and unfortunately for ourselves we just couldn't get going and find ourselves out of the cup.
I take it you won't make that mistake next week. You'll be sort of
file
up to
get. No, like I say, we're going with a game plan, and hopefully we can just carry it out better than we did today. Our game plan for today was to frustrate them hitting the counter attack, but when you go behind after 10 minutes of the game, that game plan can go out the window. So just one of the things today that it didn't quite work for us. It's worked for us in the past, but we need to learn from it and move on.
It's interesting from Danny there, and very honest. I mean, we can all see that as well, but this is why I talk about leadership. We gave them too much respect, we didn't close them down quickly enough. This is where a strong man in midfield, a John Gregg for instance, when I played, if it wasn't happening, he would be over and he would grab you by the collar. You get tighter to him or get a few challenges in, get people going. Richard Goff would do the same. Terry Butcher would do the same, and he's a captain. There's nobody there that does that. Kenny Miller tries, but Kenny Miller's away wide all the time and coming back. You need somebody in the centre of that midfield that's going to get on players' backs if they're not doing it and get them playing.
That's why I think Saturday at Ibrox, Jerry, will be fascinating. Rangers' last chance of the season to try and... I mean, I know we're now down to clutching at straws here where Rangers are concerned, but their last chance to see if they can be the first team to beat Celtic in a domestic match. The crowd will be right on top of the players.
Hampden deadens the atmosphere a bit. There's no doubt about that. But at Celtic Park, at Ibrox rather, the Celtic end will be full and they'll be revelling in what happened today, and they'll be demanding that Celtic beat Rangers again with a bit to spare so they can have a real party at Ibrox. The Rangers fans will be demanding what Derek has been calling for. Somebody show some fight and some leadership here. So I think it'll be a real old-fashioned ding dong. Yeah.
Gordon Dale, we heard Danny Wilson say that the game plan today for Rangers was to frustrate Celtic and then hit them on the counter-attack. I mean, do Rangers have the players to do that? And looking at the starting 11 today, was that the right players?
No, I don't think it was. I don't think their game plan would have worked because, as I said, Heinemann started on the right-hand side. Holt was invisible. Halliday didn't get forward at all. The two front men couldn't hold the ball up. To be fair, you can argue the point that you've got to get the service, but they couldn't hold the ball up. So it meant that they really couldn't hit them on the counter-attack. And plus the fact, Terry, for the first half, they didn't have that much of the ball to actually do it anyway. So, no, I thought Rangers' game plan was wrong today. I think that the Rangers manager should have learned from sitting in the stand and watching them against Celtic at Celtic Park, and I thought he should have went with one up and flooded the middle of the park and tried to make it very, very hard for Celtic. I think he played right into Brendan Rodgers' hand today, I really do, and I think he got his tactics spot on, and you can't allow a player like Scott Brown to dictate the game for 90 minutes.
22 minutes past three. We're here till just before 4 o'clock on Clyde One's Super Scoreboard. When we come back, we'll hear from Scott Sinclair.
Football is all a matter of opinions. This is The Open Line on Clyde One's Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.
I think one of them, I think, I probably was one of the best team performances we've had all season. You know, the way we controlled the game from start to finish, I think it was a great performance.
I think the keeper might have got a hand to the penalty. Was it ever in doubt?
No, never in doubt. I think when I put the ball down, and I'm always confident when I step up and take the pen.
How crucial was that at that point? Because although Rangers weren't really in it in the first half, they perhaps looked a bit more likely in the second. Do you feel that the penalty killed it?
Yeah, I think it's always nice to get the second goal. If it stayed at 1-0, then maybe we'd have been a little bit more on the back foot. But like I said, I think from start to finish, we felt comfortable in the game. And the way we passed the ball around and we created the chances. And obviously me putting the pen away to make it 2-0, I think it made it more comfortable.
I think I'm right in saying, did you miss the League Cup final here? So you must be desperate to get back out there, not only win the Scottish Cup, but a treble as well.
Well, that's always a nice feeling, do you know what I mean? But the thing is, it's great to be in the final. Obviously, I missed the League Cup one. So, but now I just need to sort of take it every step as it comes. I think we've still got 5 games in the league, and make sure we sort of still do a job in there.
Scott, you've been talked about in many circles as possibly being the player of the year. What would that mean to you if you were to get that accolade from your fellow professionals?
Yeah, well, obviously, any player, you'd be sort of overwhelmed. But the thing is, that's right at the back of my mind right now. The main priority is to get the job done, to keep sort of improving in the league and getting to the, obviously we're in the final, and make sure we just keep winning games.
Was that game today in a strange sort of way even more comfortable than the 5-1 win?
Yeah, I think the way sort of we kept the ball, we created chances, I think it was a game where we were sort of much more comfortable throughout the whole game, and the way we played as a team, I think it was great.
27 minutes past three on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still Arsenal 0, Manchester City 0. Let's go to the phone lines. We have got a Rangers Thomas and a Celtic Thomas on the line. Let's just see who's been hanging on the longest. It's Tommy, who is in Hamilton, the Celtic fan. Hi, Tommy.
Hi there.
Hi, Tommy. What's your thoughts?
No, I was just thinking there's been a lot of flack gave towards the referees the last week. And the linesman, obviously. But I thought that Wally Collum done really well today. And nobody's actually realised how well that guy's done under the pressure that he was under.
Referees know they've done well when they're not being spoken about. Yeah. That means they've done their job properly.
I think you'll find Wally Collum is being spoken about, guys.
Yeah,
and I think
I was just about to say
6 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, but I was just about to say that Wally did have a reasonable game, but he's got the Andy Halliday tackle on Patrick Roberts all wrong. It is without doubt a red card challenge, and he got it wrong. But other than that, yeah, he's done fine.
Thanks, Tommy. Here's Thomas in Easterhouse. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gerry.
Hi there, Thomas. What's your point?
All right, yeah, just somebody spoke up earlier on saying that he had three questions. Was Kishinya the right man? Was King the right man? And whatever. Yeah. I don't understand how any Rangers fan can even question Kishinya just now. Well, the day we got battered, we got well beaten, there's no excuses. And maybe the Rangers fan can even try making an excuse for the day. But I think we've got to look at the bigger picture, and it's always going to be a long, long road. Obviously, we didn't compete against them, we didn't tackle them, we didn't get close to them, and that's not good enough. But the question Kishinya, I think, is wrong. I think we've got to just let the guy get a good transfer window, give him some money, and back him, and we'll go again next week. We'll go to Ibrox, we'll support them, and just take it for there. But make no excuses for the day, it just wasn't good enough.
What, Gordondale, what have Rangers got left to show their fans next Saturday, because this is effectively the last big game of the season for them?
Yeah, I think the other fans a better performance. You know, you can't stand off Celtic and admire the way they play. You've got to get in about them, you've got to try and upset them, you've got to try and at least... I think the one thing that stood out for me today, and I know what people are saying, the new Rangers manager, yes, we all agree, he's got to get a transfer window. But he's got work to do, in the sense of, I can't understand standing here just now thinking about the game, why he started with two forwards up front. It baffles me, because Rangers couldn't go. But they owe their fans a better performance. They owe their fans a bit more determination. And the fact of they couldn't pass the ball in the first 30 minutes, I thought, was a bit embarrassing for Rangers players. If you're playing at a club the size of Rangers and you've got a support that's in here supporting you, surely you're able to pass the ball 5 yards. And Rangers, for 30 minutes in the first half, certainly couldn't do that. And they stood off and they looked like a frightened team for me. I think they've got to roll their sleeves up next week and say to Celtic, OK, you are the better team of that, there's no doubt, and we're not arguing. But we're not going to stand off and admire your football. We're going to get about you and try and upset you.
This could make Derek for a tasty match.
I think it will be. I think it'll be. It's a game that Rangers, as I say, Rangers players got slaughtered this weekend, and rightly so, because they didn't do it. So they'll be determined. It's at Ibrox. The majority of fans there will be Rangers fans. They've got to roll their sleeves up. You know, again, I'll say about tactics. They can play any tactics they want. They've got to work hard. They've got to stop Celtic playing. Yes, you have to do that with the quality that you've got. But, as Gordon says, when you have the ball, you've got to be more productive with it. You've got to make pass. If you can't pass the ball 5 yards, then why on earth are you at that club?
Gerry, I'll summarise next Saturday's match for you in three words. Blood and snotters.
I knew you were going to say that. Anthony Neil said, does the panel expect there to be retrospective action taken against Halliday for his tackle on Roberts? Will there be an appeal?
No.
Can't be, Anthony.
Because he's been yellow carded, so the referee's seen it.
Referee's dealt with it, Anthony. Yeah. Nothing the compliance officer will do about that. Mark Brown says, all talk about Halliday's tackle. What about Simonovic's studs up tackle on Mackay? The same, if not more dangerous.
Correct. That was another one he could have done about. Yep. I don't even get a booking for that. Or did he get a booking for that?
He got a yellow for
he
it.
He got a yellow for it.
Yeah, he did. Right, let's speak to Andy in Alexandria. Hi, Andy.
Hi, yeah. How's it going?
All right, Andy.
It's not so much about today's game. It was just about the overall thing. I'm sorry, somebody just walked in there. So just about the overall thing about Rangers altogether and Dave King. It's an open secret that Dave King has done his bit. He's brought Rangers away from the charlatans. He promised transparency. He's not done that. He promised millions to get pumped into the club. He's not done that. I know he's upgraded Ibrox and things like that, but I think he's took his far enough, and I think there's an open secret going about that he doesn't want any more involvement in Rangers. And if somebody came in, either with investment, which is, again, there's been rumours going about there's been certain organisations and things like that want to heavily invest in Rangers. So I want to know why he's not putting his hand in his pocket if he's want to stay, or if the rumours going about are true and he wants to go, that he just needs to come out and be transparent, which he promised the Rangers supporters beforehand.
But Andy, can I say something to you?
Yeah.
Dave King is the only show in town just now. I've heard all the talk about people from the Middle East coming in and Chinese men coming in and throwing their money. It's all just talk. If somebody came in, Dave King has already said, if somebody wants to invest in this club, I'll be listening to him every day of the week. He's the man that actually saved the club. The directors there have saved that club.
Yeah, they'll save the club, but
But they need to be taken on forward. I agree with that as well. We'll find out in the summer, you know, what sort of money that they're going to give Kashina, you know, to buy players for next season. We'll have a better idea then what's happening.
We've got to give Kashina as a transfer anyway to get his own players in. Chris is not his team. These players should either, if you're behind their head in the game today, the way they performed out there. He came out and said right at the beginning, well, in the actual post interview, that he knew that Scott Brown was going to have a huge influence in the game, right? Yeah, Scott Brown had more space in the middle of that field today than he's ever had in an Old Firm game. We made him look. I'm not saying Scott Brown's not a good player, so don't think people are saying I'm saying that. But we made Scott Brown look a lot better player than he actually is, because he had so much space. He was controlling everything in the middle of that field. Yeah, we sat back and let him do that. Yeah, and the manager comes out after that and says that was identified as one of the main issues that Scott Brown was going to be do that. So why know anything about it? I know Kashina, this is not his team, it's not his players, and we need to give him a chance. We do need to give him a chance. Personally, I think he was the wrong appointment, but I'm willing to give him a chance as well, you know, and get through to next season. But I think Dave King has to either come out and tell and be transparent what he promised the supporters at the beginning when he came in to save the club. And you're quite right there, he did, he came in and saved the club. But it's no way, he's not fulfilled any of the promises, right? They're being transplanted, he's going to fling money at it, but invest heavily in Rangers and make him a force to be reckoned with. Other than that, it's all paper talk, right? As for the rumours going about as in huge investment, right? I mean, you kind of come out and say it, right? And I know reporters kind of come out and start reporting things, right? But there is certain organisations out there that want to heavily invest in Rangers, right? That's
speculation on your part.
If I knew of any big organisation wanting to invest in Rangers, I wouldn't not say it. I would tell you.
Yeah,
I know, but when there's things going behind the scenes and that, and then if something getting held up, I don't know if it's the Sports Direct thing where Mike Ashley is stopping people coming in because he's still got a grip of Rangers. I mean, there was even rumours going about a while back it was Ashley himself that was coming, but I can't see that. But I really think Dave King is not the man. He's either going to have to come out and be honest with the Rangers supporters or step up and start them heavily investing. Yeah. Because that team right now is going to be 10 in a row. 10 in a row is going to go further than 10 in a row.
I think the Rangers supporters are in torment here. First of all, Andy says that Kashina wasn't the right man for the job in his estimation, but he wants him to be given time. He's contradicting himself. Dave King, all sorts of unfounded speculation contained within that call. Apparently the press are keeping this quiet. As you've rightly said, Jerry, anyone who had hard information on a takeover at Rangers would be
biggest story in town, isn't it?
Would be rushing to show that they were the smartest boy in the class. So the club's in torment and in turmoil at the moment. And I think next Saturday there's a culture clash at work here. Pedro Kashina will say, I must stick to my philosophy. I must remain true to my idea of how the game should be played. And the Rangers supporters will be saying, in the old-fashioned Scottish term, get into them. So that's what the last game of the season between the two clubs is going to be all about.
Apparently Kashina, and he's according to a tweet from Alison Conroy, she's tweeted a picture of Kashina in front of the journalist today using the glasses, using the water glasses to explain tactics from today's game.
Never a good sign. They're too cynical for all that. They can see the game for themselves, and the Rangers supporters could see the game for themselves, and that's why today has been an eye-opener. A year on from one game confirming that Ronnie Dyla could not be allowed to continue as Celtic manager, you've now got a Rangers-Celtic game won so easily by Celtic, 2-0, playing well within themselves, Rangers getting off lightly, and it has opened the eyes of the Rangers fans.
Well, Pedro Kashina was asked in his news conference if he thought there was a lack of belief amongst his players today.
I cannot tell you that. I prepared the game with my head, with my opinion, feeling and knowing about the moment. But I told you we could not avoid the midfielders to have the ball, and that was really making the difference. I then can circulate the ball from the back with the three centre halves. We conceded the first goal the way we knew it, and it was the only ball in the back. With Dembele looking that penetration run, running in between on the back of the centre halves, we could not contain the second ball, and the fantastic definition make the rest. But we were expecting more from our team, definitely. And I don't think that it has to be with the previous or not, but the way we prepare the game and the way we perform the game, it's totally different. It's something that I need to spoke with them. It's possible, and I always, if that's what's really happened, I need to admit my own mistakes. I'm a guy that is totally clear in those sort of situations, but I don't believe that. What I really believe was that, for example, Elder, which is the assistant coach, came to me just by the end of the warm up and tell me, please, on your speech on the way to the match, to the beginning of the match, don't be that strong, don't be so tough. They need to feel a little bit more of freedom, and maybe when you are not feeling that freedom, you don't enjoy and you don't perform the way you need it. So we were a little bit blocked, maybe. In that point, I can agree with you. And if you are blocked, even if you have the best organization in the world and the best ideas in the world, you cannot perform. So that's what I really felt regarding to the first half. And with that fact that we could not annul the two midfielder players from the opponent, which were doing everything, we could not have the ball, we could not attack, we could not have our game when we tried to recover the ball in some parts of the pitch.
Interesting comments there from Pedro Caixinha, yeah. Particularly the ones about just before the game where Helder Baptista, his assistant, said to him,
don't be too tough.
Hard on the players before they go out?
I took it like your team talk when you're standing up. Don't say about be aggressive, similar to the game at Celtic Park. Go and do challenges.
Give them some freedom.
Just go out and
I think we have play like
that. I'll tell you what, will be the opposite next Saturday. Anyway, that's for sure.
But I think we have to take into account that English is not Pedro Caixinha's first language.
Yeah.
And we have to, I'd like to sit him down later away from cameras and all the rest of it and say, precisely what did you mean by that? Because the exact meaning of what happened there is not immediately clear to me. So I'd like to give the man another chance to explain himself. But as I say, next Saturday, 12 o'clock kickoff at Ibrox is a culture clash. It is, for the Rangers supporters, one last chance for the season to beat Celtic, to end talk of the Invincibles where the league championship is concerned, and the Rangers supporters demanding that they play better than they played today, fight harder than they played today, and Pedro Caixinha not being allowed to stick to his philosophy.
Surely if you're the manager and you're going to a game, you're going to Hampden, you've got a jam-packed stadium, you want to have your own team talk.
Sure.
Obviously, you get better advice from your assistants, your coaches, but you're the man. Mm. It's down to you. You're in charge. Yeah.
And if you're an assistant, you wouldn't even consider going up and telling the manager what to do.
Yeah. Well, especially with your team talking and the way you're going to put it across about the attitude that he's saying about don't be so strong and all this kind of thing.
But your number two, I mean, Murdo was number two to Wim Jansen. I'm quite sure Murdo didn't go through the whole title winning season without ever telling Wim what his ideas were from time to time.
Yeah,
but 15 minutes before kickoff.
But you're right, Hugh. We would chat all the time about how the team are going to play and what we're going to do, but at no point was I going to tell Wim Jansen, This is your team talk today.
Some controversy at Wembley, Derek. It looked like Manchester City had got the opening goal in the FA Cup semi-final.
Well, Manny got to the byline and he's chipped the ball in, and the linesman or the assistant has said that he went over the line before it came back in again, and it didn't, because they've got a camera right on that line, and the whole ball was not over the line. And when the ball came in, Sterling hit it and it was cleared, and then somebody battered it, and it was a goal, but it was chopped off.
We've slaughtered our officials, and we'll go on doing it if they deserve it. But this lot at Wembley today are having a nightmare, because they've also denied Man City a stonewall penalty.
Scottish football has a voice on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard open line. Call now 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
It's quarter to four. You're listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're here for the next 10 minutes or so, and I do want to chat to the guys about the Scottish Cup final, because of course it is Celtic against Aberdeen, we know. But let's get the calls finished with. First of all, here's John in Giffnock. Hi, John.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
All right, John.
Hi. First of all, Hugh, I was really delighted there to see you talking about Pedro's press conference here and talking about how you've got to understand he's not English, his first language and stuff. I think that's a really important thing to point out, and I'm glad you did that. The one thing I phoned about, though, was why was Terrell not playing? Because I'm really stunned about that, because Terrell has been the best player for Rangers in the last three games, and yet he's replaced by Andy Halliday, who arguably has been Rangers' poorest player whenever he's come on. And he turned out to be the poorest player to be.
Gordon Dale?
Yeah, I was surprised when I seen that choice. I think it was maybe the manager's thinking, just to get a little bit of, you know, steel into the midfield, as you call it. But Halliday was poor. Terrell scored against Partick Thistle last week, and I thought probably had one of his best games since coming to Rangers. And the one thing about him is, and this is where I touched on the first 30 minutes, he can pass the ball, he can keep the ball. Rangers had nobody on the pitch today that was capable of keeping the ball, i.e. why they kept giving it away and Celtic just came at them wave after wave after wave of attack. So it was a strange one. The Rangers manager will probably say it was just to maybe add a little bit more steel, a bit strength in there. But I think he caught... I've said since the game finished, I thought he got his tactics totally wrong today.
Gordon, if he's talking about bringing Halliday back in for a bit of stealing, yet the assistant's telling him just to calm it down a wee bit with his team talk.
Well, you've seen his tackle.
Eli Dorge, you're right.
Yeah, and put himself under severe pressure. He also, he's got to do better at tracking McGregor, yeah. When you see the goal as well. Halliday, I thought, you know, when he came to Rangers and playing the Championship... A lot of the fans really, really liked Halliday, but he's stepped up a level now, and I think that, and I hate saying this about class, but I don't think he is a player that he's going to be playing next season. I think Rangers have got to look for better. Derek touched on someone like Scott Brown, for instance, who's a leader. He's a very strong character. When things aren't going right, you see him in the faces of people. Rangers don't have anybody in their team like that at all. And I think that if this new manager's going to do anything next season, I think he's got to build from the back right away. Because the centre-halves, time and time again, the ball over the top, and it's a schoolboy defending, especially for the first one. That ball's came a long way, and it's went right over the two centre-backs, and Dembele's touches, you've got to say, terrific, and then the goal to finish it off. But Rangers need a bit of steel, and you know, Derek touched on John Greggs of this world. Where you get them, I don't know nowadays, but they need somebody in there that's going to drag Rangers through a game when they're not playing well. Rangers haven't got anybody in their squad at all that can achieve that just now.
Gordon, I'm going to carry on the chat with the guys in studio about the Scottish Cup final, but well done with your prediction this afternoon. You were the only one that called it correctly.
Jerry, you either know the game or you don't, mate. You stick to the piano. We'll see you soon.
Thanks very much.
That's taking a Liberace, is it not?
That is indeed. Thanks very much to Gordon. I'll not tell him what to stick to. Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson, Morgan McLeod. We now have a Celtic Aberdeen final. Is there any way that Aberdeen are going to stop Celtic doing this treble, Hugh?
Of course there's a chance. One off cup final, of course there's a chance. But you would take Celtic as the favourites right now. And it would be a glorious end to the season for Brendan Rodgers, as you said, only the third Celtic manager in 129 years to win a treble. So I look forward to it. It'll be a classy occasion. It's up to Aberdeen to come down to Glasgow and be far better than they were in the League Cup final. They were hopeless, dominated by Celtic from start to finish, lost 3-0, could have been more. Hampden, the end of May, hopefully the sun's shining. Going to be a great occasion.
I think Aberdeen, Hugh, if they turn up the way they can play, will make it a good game. But if Celtic are going to play the way they can play, they'll go on and win this. Yeah. They'll go and win the treble.
The tension that day will be unbelievable. Yeah. You know, as I say, three trebles in 129 years. So there'll be a lot of tension in the air so far as Brendan Rodgers, the Celtic players and Celtic supporters are concerned. Aberdeen will come down with the the attitude that, well, we've got nothing to lose here.
Listen, we witnessed the two sides of Aberdeen yesterday. That side that came out firing, you know, they were 2-0 up, looking great, and all of a sudden the opposition got a grip of themselves, got it back to 2-2, and Aberdeen, lucky, you know, to win the game. It was a fluky goal in the end, but they won it. I don't think they've any chance. I know you're saying, you can't say that. Celtic have got better players than Aberdeen on the day. And I just think they've got far too much for Aberdeen. I think from midfield going forward, I think they're always liable to score against anybody and they'll get goals.
Derek, you know as well as anyone in the game, like a challenge from Andy Halliday today. Should have been a send-off or could have been a sending-off. That could happen if a Celtic player went into a challenge in the cup final. And then Celtic are down to 10 against that. So it can happen in the first couple of minutes.
You would still fancy them.
You never know. You never know how
football's
going to
turn out.
If you're
asking me now, have Aberdeen got a chance? If it's 11 against 11 in the game, I would say no. I think Celtic are by far the
best. Brendan Rodgers confirmed today that it does look as if it's a hamstring injury for Moussa Dembele. It's all about his recovery. We don't know what grade of tear it would be, how long he was going to be out. But let's say Moussa Dembele's season is finished.
Yeah.
Does that still not change the complexion of the final?
No, because they've got Lee Griffiths.
Yeah.
They've got Lee Griffiths, who showed again today his hunger. Everybody felt, well, he'll not be happy next season. If he's not getting a game, he'll be away. He'll be the happiest Celtic player tonight because he knows he's going to play the next 3 or 4 games for Celtic.
One-off game, the treble, history. I think I would take a 10 bob note out of my pocket and bet on Celtic.
I need to be out of the missus's pocket. Wouldn't it be in yours?
I've been keeping a 10 bob note for a special occasion.
I've actually got one in the house, believe it or not.
The day after the I don't know if this is widely known, but the day after the cup final, Murdo, Celtic have got an open top bus procession planned for London Road, for the bottom end of London Road, down by the kind of Mount Vernon side.
Yes,
all the way up to Celtic Park for the Lubo and Henrik Larsson Legends game. I think what they're planning to do is put the Legends on the bus and have them come all the way up to Celtic Park in an open top bus. The Celtic fans, if Celtic have just won the treble the day before that, I would imagine you may see some current Celtic players and some trophies on that bus too, which hasn't been done.
Yeah, because Glasgow does not take kindly to open top bus celebrations if it involves Celtic or Rangers. All of that will be at the back of Brendan Rodgers' mind, at the back of the players' minds and the supporters' minds.
Hugh, it must be the only city in Britain or even Europe that you can't have an open top bus.
We can't have an under 17 final between Celtic and Rangers with any people at it this week because of trouble. That's the sad side of our city. But to confine ourselves to the football, it will be a terrific final. I would not say Aberdeen have absolutely no chance. I don't think he can say that.
Because yes, well, I'm saying it.
Celtic might have an off day, but as I say, they have to be the overwhelming favourite, Celtic, because it's almost as if this has been preordained, as if it's destiny. It's Brendan Rodgers' fate to come to Celtic and in his first season win a treble, as Martin O'Neill did. So all of the pressure is on Celtic, but they seem to be quite happy living with pressure.
A quick word about Ryan Christie. How might he be feeling today? Yeah. Murdo, of course, it means that he cannot play in the final. And his time at Aberdeen will be over, so he'll probably actually be with the Celtic squad that day.
Well, you're right. He'll be stepping back because there's no reason for him to... Well, there is reason still to be up there. He'll be up there that week. He lives up that way, but he'll come down and he'll need to go with one of the teams.
But his contract not be until the end of the league season, though, Murdo?
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. So he'll be back with Celtic for that
he'll
day.
He'll be back with Celtic, and it's a tough one, you know, to get a goal in the semi-final and not being allowed to play in the final. It's like, I must say, I wish no player would ever get suspended for a final. You know, two bookings and all that build up. It's very rarely do you get to a cup final.
Yeah, especially for the smaller clubs.
Smaller clubs, and some guys miss a cup final, and I hate seeing that.
A couple of minutes to go on the show for Rangers, Hugh. What next for them?
Oh, well, first of all, they'll get this last game against Celtic out of the way. But if Celtic should go to Ibrox and dominate next Saturday as they dominated at Ibrox today, it will put a bit of pressure on Pedro Caixinha, because the Rangers fans are already feeling this inferiority complex. They know that Celtic are just miles in front. They have no faith in their own squad of players. fingers are being pointed at all sorts of individuals within the squad. And Pedro Caixinha would have to avoid, I think, an embarrassing day. Of course, you don't judge him right now. He'll get the summer, the transfer window. Next season, his job will be to address the huge gap between Celtic and Rangers. Then we can put him under the microscope. But he should try to avoid an embarrassment next Saturday.
Well, that's not down to him.
No, we just salute. We just salute. I just congratulate him. He said that we meet on Saturday, and I invite him to drink after the match a good Portuguese wine that we have now in my office back in Ibrox.
Oh dear.
Which a nice man, isn't he? Inviting Brendan Rodgers for a glass of wine.
The tension is too great.
But they do that anyway. Every manager goes into their office and has that. It's all part of the course.
Past managers as well.
Yeah,
part of the course.
Always sat in together.
The Rangers supporters don't want to hear it at this precise moment.
But it happens. Every manager goes into the manager's office and has a wee drink before they go home.
And he's trying to be, not trying to be, he is a civilised man, Pedro Caixinha. Yeah. But the Rangers supporters don't want to know about any of that right now. They want to know how their club, their football team, avoids another embarrassment against Celtic next Saturday and where they go after that.
Yeah, in 6 days' time, it all happens again. Ibrox will be the venue. Rangers against Celtic in the Scottish Premiership. Today, it was all Celtic from beginning to end. Two goals, one from Callum McGregor, one from Scott Sinclair, gave Celtic the win that they wanted to take them through to that Scottish Cup final against Aberdeen. And for them, the league was already won, the League Cup was already won, and the treble is still on. Just 90 minutes, or maybe a little bit longer, away from only being the third manager at Celtic to win the treble. Thanks very much for your company this afternoon. Hugh Keevans, Myrtle McLeod and Derek Johnson. Myself, Hugh and Derek will be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Keep it on Clyde One. The Big Top 40 is next.
Arrivederci.